Hello and welcome to the PacMag Parents Podcast, your place to laugh and learn. Everything we do is to make the lives of everyday parents easier. Without further ado, let's welcome our hostess with the mostess, Bree James.
Well, hello and welcome to the PacMag Parents Podcast. Bree James here with you. And today we are chatting to Alison Giel, and she's joining us on Zoom to discuss her dedication to child protection through Brave Hearts and her relentless commitment to the prevention and treatment of child sexual abuse, which is a really, really important topic. So let's get her on Zoom. How are you going, Alison?
It is an important topic. I'm really well, and thanks for having me on your wonderful podcast, Bree. I'm really happy to be here.
Now, our paths crossed a really long time ago in media, which is where, you know, you've spent 15 years of your life dedicated to more sharing other news and sharing music throughout Australia. And that's where we first met. But what made you transition from media to child protection?
Yeah, it didn't happen quite like one day I woke up and I'm now going to work in child protection, and I've been doing this now for 5 years. So it happened over a long period of time. I think that what used to be really important to me as a young woman, and that was in that environment, making lots of money for people that I probably didn't even meet, you know, and it was a fun, incredible environment. As my own child and children around me, my life, I was getting older, I wanted to think about what my purpose in life might be. And this position had come up a while before I actually took it. So it took a while to kind of be coaxed into it. And for your listeners, when I say coaxed, because one of the things that kept me away from it was the topic. Being a parent, I thought, I don't know if I can do this. And I got to a point where it was like, if not me, who? And I think bringing a commercial understanding to a for-purpose organisation has been a really good fit. So it didn't, in short, it didn't happen overnight, and it presented itself to me for consideration. It took a while and I would never look back. It's really important work. It's great.
I think that's the thing. Most of these non-for-profits do commercially struggle. They've got such a big purpose, but you have to be very commercially minded to be able to fund not only the programs, but also commercially minded to be able to get them in to the places they need to be so that they actually have the massive impact. So kudos to you.
Yeah, correct. You don't want to be for deficit, right? So you have to, you often in these environments, in not-for-profits, you kind of the matrix look like the most invaluable thing was that the people that worked there were cause connected, but I take that as like a lay down mazair. That's a given. You've got to be cause connected, but you actually also have to have, along with that love and desire and energy to protect kids, you have to have the skill for the job that we need to get done in order to do it. So to date, it's been a good marriage. And unusual, I wouldn't have picked it. If you had have said to me, even, you know, 6 years ago, this is what you'd be doing, I'd be thinking, goodness, no. But yeah. So that's how it happened.
Well, it's one of the most topical things right now is child protection, I think, happening not only in our state but in our whole country and globally. And I know in Queensland there's 130,000 referrals every year to child safety, and not many of those children get the help that they require. You know, there's only a certain amount of resi care spots and a certain amount of foster carers out there. So in an ideal world, what do you think needs to happen so that more children get the protection that they need?
Yeah, particularly from child sexual abuse. And I think we're seeing the numbers rising and rising and rising. And you think, you know, Brave Hearts as an organisation has been around for a quarter of a century. So why is this, do these numbers keep going up, and what are we missing? And I think the answer lies within the crime. So child sexual abuse is so abhorrent. So it's so crowded in shame and secrecy and silence, normally leveled right at the foot of the victim, that it's just something people don't like to talk about because it is an intimate, violent crime, number one. Secondly, there's lots of myths that surround it. One is that I know when I was growing up, and I don't want to disclose my age here, but I will for the benefit of the listeners, I'm over 50, that it was all about stranger danger. It was all about, you know, making sure that, you know, that person down the street who was a bit weird, you know, it was just being aware of strangers. And we know that the crime is, over 95% of cases, the offender is known and trusted and loved in most cases by the family and the child. So it's a very intimate, and a myth is that that doesn't happen in my family. That doesn't happen to anyone I know. And that just isn't the case. So we all need to talk about it and normalise the discussion around it, not normalise the crime, but it takes a real village. I know that's an adage, but community, parents, carers, schools. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen, you know, a crime with, you know, the alleged offender was in a daycare centre and a series of them. So that shocks everyone. And at Bravehearts, we don't deal with that quantum, but we do just every day. Every day there's one child that's impacted. Every day we're providing counselling or treatment for a family. So what I think is that everyone who has children in their lives needs to understand this crime and educate themselves on it so they're able to have discussions with their children and kids in their care about it and about what to do.
Because 95% of that's a huge percentage. And when you're talking about child sexual abuse, I mean, I've said here 130,000 referrals to child safety. That's people actually going, hey, there's something wrong here. That's not children going, hey. So how many acts of, you know, how many children are impacted by sexual violence?
Yeah, so up until very recently, the statistic was 1 in 5 Australian children will experience sexual harm before they turn 18. And much more recent this year was the Australian Childhood Maltreatment Study, which was a one of its kind longitudinal study that's been released. On retrospectively, it shows that 28.5% of the Australian population has experienced sexual harm as a child. So you'll have 1 in 4 boys and 1 in 3 girls. And 1 in 5 boys and 1 in 3 girls. It is an incredibly high, staggering statistic. And for parents, it can be such a big mountain that they think, I can't bear to tackle that. And the thing is, when, you know, when my daughter was little, there wasn't the handing off of the device. And, you know, given the ages of your kids, in a way, Bree, you might have, when they're very little, escaped some of that. But now, you know, prams are built with device holders, that it is really that secondary caretaker and babysitter. And we get it. We don't want to shame parents into that because being a parent's tough and we're all time poor. But they have got access, in some cases, unfettered to the world. And we just have to get better at it as people who are around kids, because we do a lot of education programs, as you know, but we don't want to put the onus just on the child, because if they do speak up, and because it's designed to prevent, it's designed for them to be resilient, it's designed to decrease vulnerability. So that's what's magical about it. And if they speak up and say to a parent, a carer, or someone they trust, I just don't feel right about this, that person then is equipped to go, okay, tell me more about that. And just park the fear element, because it's the fear of those around children. And we just can't see kids in that environment in our head. Who can? For most of your listeners, they can't. Yeah.
No, but, you know, those statistics are really high. 1 in 5 and one in three for girls. Is that right? 1 in 3 for girls and 1 in 5 for boys?
Yeah.
That's knowing that one of your children's friends, realistically.
Yes, of course. We don't. Working at Bravehearts has been a bit of a revelation in that sense, because normally on most given weeks, someone in my circle, or if I meet an event, or they will either disclose, or asking for a friend, or that happened to someone I know. And so it is right across all facets of our community and our society. That's another myth, you know, that it's a lower socioeconomic problem. And it just isn't. It's a problem across all different geographical, demographical, socioeconomic bounds. We have as many luxury cars pull up for counselling as we do not luxury cars. I was going to say a Datsun, but I don't think they make them anymore. So. Little Datsun 180Bs, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. It doesn't discriminate.
It's just anyone. It's everyone's job to help protect kids.
So you're saying empower children, and obviously that's what Brave Hearts does, is it has these amazing educational programs. You know, one of them is the Ditto's Keep Safe Kids Adventure Program. So obviously these programs empower our children to know what's right, what's wrong. And you create these amazing songs and they come home singing, you know, these songs that you go, where did you hear that from? That's how, you know, but then you realize, you know, at first as a parent, you go, why are you singing a sexual song about your genitals? But, you know, yeah. It's really educating them that they're personal, they're private, they're not for people to touch.
Yeah, that's correct. It's interesting, the relationship between body parts and the idea that it's sexual, and it's kind of our programming, like a penis is like a knee, yep. Or a, you know, a vagina and an elbow, but we, you know, they are body parts, and one yes. of the ways in which we know to keep kids really safe is the correct use of those anatomical names, because it's when they are disguised as other things that children can't articulate correctly. Like if they hurt their knee, they hurt their knee. If they, you know, so actually from a very, and there's a lot of shame around that. We're still always working with schools and parents to go, it's just a body part. And it's either a private or a public body part. And the show is, because it's a delicate topic, and what's wonderful about it, and we see children from as young as 3, is that it's all age appropriate. Using their language and what to do when they feel they have butterflies in their tummy or stuck in the mud feet or their heart's racing or their palms are sweating. And what we know to be true is that kids feel that they could speak up after they see that show. And it can be about friendship group problems. It can be about bullying, but it can also be about that person in my life is doing something they shouldn't be doing. Or that person gives me that icky, yucky feeling. And it's really 3 simple rules: that everyone has the right to be safe. You know, if you feel unsafe or unsure, you can say no. And nothing is so yucky that you can't tell someone about it. And the way it's crafted, you see teachers in a classroom setting going, phew. Like they don't have to pull that kind of material together. That's the first thing. And the kids love it. They're entertained. They continue the language. And then the extension of that, of course, is making sure that parents and carers and everybody continues those conversations, because there's nothing worse than a child speaking up and someone going, that's ridiculous, that's silly. Because we also know that invariably children don't lie about this topic.
No, why would they? So, yeah. Which actually brings me to my next question, which is obviously sometimes we don't know that, you know, they're being taught this at school and that Brave Hearts has yeah. come in. So where can we look for parenting resources so that if our child, you know, is having these conversations with us, is there anything, any advice there that you've got for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, the Brave Hearts website, which is bravehearts.org.au, has some fantastic resources, conversation starters, and there is a free downloadable parents and carers personal safety guide, which has everything you need to know. I would also encourage your listeners to go to the eSafety Commission's website, which is esafety.gov.au, and they have some wonderful materials, cheat and tip sheets on all of these apps. So if you've got, you know, I know most young boys who are age about 6 or 7 up love Roblox or however you say it. There is you know, this is the app, this is what they're doing, this is the access, it's what you need to know, this is the premise of the game. And as a parent, what should you be looking for? Because half of the time we're the novices in this space and they're the experts. So if they're the digital expert, it doesn't take much before we hand our device over to our kid and go, there you go, you sort that out for me. And they don't look to us as, you're my peer, you know. They very quickly look at us like we have no idea, and invariably we don't, right? And your kids are particularly in that age group, which are just like, please. And I'm not speaking for them, but that age group is really expert level. Like, you, and the truth is they are. So it's one thing to kind of look at the information. And we like people who are in children's lives, because once this happens to a family will move heaven and earth to become educated on this topic. They will devour everything they need to know to try and, in a bid to turn back time in a way, you know, to just do whatever they can to try and fix it or address it or help their child heal. What we would like people to do is become knowledgeable about it through education, not through experience, because it should be as common a discussion as road safety, personal hygiene, eating your vegetables, saying please and thank you. It should just be a normal, because the truth is the numbers don't lie. They are staggering.
So what needs to change then? Obviously, if you had a magic wand and you could you know, talk to government, educators and other organisations that have power over this issue, what's your message for them?
Yeah, so that question's interesting, because that's really my days are often doing a lot of work with governments, state and federal. In Australia, child protection is a state. It's legislated by the states. So that can be tricky, and we saw that in one area of the case very recently when we have, you know, if you're working with a child, there are different checks and balances depending on what state you live in. And the minute you have that, you have exceptions because they're all on different levels. So having child protection, Nirvana for me, Bravehearts wouldn't exist, number one, but Nirvana for me would be that At the very least, we had a national framework that was implemented with regard to all the checks and balances for people who are working with children, just to reflect on that case. Secondly, that parents and carers kind of took a deep dive into this topic and got educated about it and tried to just park some of the shame that they may have if they, you know, when you go to parent, you can't help but reflect on how you were parented. So there's some stuff that's ingrained. So doing the best they can to see this as a problem it is, and therefore without fear, without worrying about introducing this topic to their children, because they're not. These little kids are on devices. It is about doing it in an age-appropriate way. And so when a child speaks up, an adult knows what to do, and that adults have child protection training so they can recognise some of these behaviours, both in children but in other adults. You know, we've got thousands of childcare workers across Australia who do an incredible job day in and day out. And some of the cohort that worked alongside that alleged offender would be thinking, oh my goodness, I am so shocked, I can't believe it. And others would be thinking, yeah, I knew something wasn't right. And they couldn't quite pinpoint it. So it's about putting the checks and balances in these child-facing organisations where there's mechanisms for reporting, identifying and handling those kind of things when they happen. So that's my ideal world. We do a lot of collaboration with other organisations across the country. There's lots of great work being done in this space, and I don't think if anyone else was asked, they'd say anything different. We collaborate together to help protect children. But it's an ongoing job, day in and day out.
Yeah.
And important.
Well, let's hope the government listens, hey?
Yeah, let's do it. And to all the parents and carers, don't be scared. head to those websites, get those resources, and start having those really important conversations with your kids.
Thank you so much, Alison, for your advice today and for sharing, you know, the importance of child safety and child protection. It's a really important topic, so make sure you go to bravehearts.org.au to get those resources. And they're tough conversations, but that's what parenting is, right? We have to do these things. So
yeah. Often and early.
Often and early. Thanks so much for being on the show today. It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. If you want to be an expert guest or you've got a weird, wacky or wonderful product to share, don't be shy. Get in contact with our team at info@pacmag.com.au. This podcast is proudly produced by PacMag. You can listen to more episodes on our website.